Morning, everyone. You excited? I'm excited. I'm scared. I always tremble a little bit when I get up here. I don't know if it's mostly stage fright or the responsibility that you and the elders have entrusted with me and that God has blessed me with the opportunity to open his word with you. I don't take it lightly ever. I never feel worthy in doing it, but here I am, and let's ask for his help. I need it, and you need it. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity that we have to be here this morning, to enjoy the freedoms that we take for granted each day in this country, that we can open your word freely. And now, Lord, we ask you to meet us where we are in our lives right now. We pray that hearts would be open, my heart included. I pray for your words and not my words, your heart and not my heart. I pray that Jesus would be lifted up and glorified through this message. And Lord, I pray for each one here. You know us intimately. You know our thoughts. You know our deeds. You know our trials and our weaknesses and our habitual sins. Yet you love us. We want to draw close to you now, Lord. So we ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Shalom. Any idea what I'm going to talk about today? Peace. Peace. And being a peacekeeper. Blessed are the peacekeepers. Blessed are the peacekeepers, for they will be called the sons of God. A very well-known verse taken from the Sermon on the Mount. One of the Beatitudes. And by the way, I'm going to put lots of scripture up today for the sake of time, so I don't need to turn to them. By the way, we're just starting a little bit late. Do I have a little leeway? I love it. Take all the time I need. Did everyone pack a lunch? Okay. So, but I encourage you to look them up, the scripture, if you don't have time right now, to look them up at home. And I want you to check my work. I want you to check what I say. Because without scripture, I'm just noise, right? If it's not backed up there, it's just noise. I'm just a clanging cymbal. So, yeah, I mean, I have to study the Word. I need to spend time in the Word. We need to spend time in the Word. And I speak for myself that I fall short of that often. And that's Satan, right? He wants to keep us out of this world, out of this Word. Because that's how God talks to us. And what kind of relationship do we have if we don't communicate? A marriage goes off the rails, right? If you don't communicate, our relationship goes off the rails when we don't communicate. And Satan has a way of putting little distractions in our way. And I talked about this with somebody the other day. I remember flying a small airplane across country, a couple hundred miles, and it was a very basic airplane, 3 or 4 or 5 instruments. And it had just a magnetic compass in it. So I've got my map on my knee, a topographical map, and I'm watching as I go along, checking my distance and trying to keep an eye on things where I am. And I remember the headset was really uncomfortable. It was another guy's airplane, and I was just ferrying it for him to this place. And I remember like one of the earmuffs had like was ragged and it's kind of so I took it off and I set it up on the dash. Guess what I set it beside? The compass, right? What's in a headset? Metal. What affects a compass? Metal. So I'm flying along and all of a sudden I notice that's not the right lake. That lake is oval and this one is, and so I go a little bit further. And then I realize after about 15 minutes, I looked at the compass, I picked up the headset and the compass swung. I thought, I'm like been flying 15 degrees off track all this time. So now think of that. I was able to find out where I was. You know what I did? I saw a small town and I flew down around the water tower. and I read where I was. Thank goodness. But you can imagine a 15 degree mistake for 5 minutes is correctable. But if you fly 15 minutes degrees off for 200 miles, you're supposed to be here. You're over here. And that's what Satan does. He puts a few degrees off course in our lives, and sooner or later, we're not there anymore. We're not in his word. So he is filled with lies and deceits, and that's just a small example. And you know what? We become a little bit Bible illiterate. Our country has definitely become God illiterate, right? We're pushing him out faster than anything. And I read an interesting comment the other day, a survey. 12% of Americans, it's always 12% of Americans, right? Canada doesn't exist. We don't do surveys. I guess we got our act together. But I had the feeling it's worse in Canada. 12% of Americans think Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Okay? That Sodom and Gomorrah were a couple. And the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. Okay? So we need to dig into the scripture. I'm speaking to myself here. I'm embarrassed sometimes of my lack of knowledge. But anyway, let's move on. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Ephesians 2, or 4, 2 to 3. Someone said to me, when they came to me and said, would you mind speaking on this topic? Completely unknown to me, you know, being a peacemaker. I said, why would I be an expert? He says, well, you ran a Christian hockey league for over 20 years. Now, let me tell you, dress a bunch of men in armor, put a meat cleaver on each boot, and put a club in their hand, and you will see the true heart of man, okay? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man, I'll tell you, that's a Christian hockey league for you. So anyway, I see a few guys that I played hockey with here, and I speak for myself. We've seen us at our worst, haven't we? Right? At times, if they're on the ice. When you peel the layers, it gets pretty ugly. So the first point I'd like to talk about is, what is peace according to the world? If we look in the dictionary, we'll see it's a state of tranquility or quiet. It's freedom from civil disturbance. A state of security or order within a community provided for by law or custom. Freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. Harmony in personal relations. A state or period of mutual concord between governments. A pact or agreement to end hostilities between those who have been at war. There's one that's needed right now, right? Wow, people are yelling for peace right now. So, what peace is the world seeking? Let's take a look at a couple of them. Peace from inner conflict. Anxiety. Is that not a word that's familiar these days? Huge, right? 40 million people in the U.S. suffer from anxiety, it's estimated. 32% of adolescents from the ages 13 to 18. We're approaching Christmas time when expectations are unmet and stress multiplies. The world is full of people seeking peace and happiness. If only I was rich and if only I was famous, my troubles would be over. Jim Carrey, the comedian, I don't know where he is in his spiritual life, but he said this, and I quote, "I wish everyone could be rich and famous and have everything they've ever dreamed of so that they would know it's not the answer." Right? The other night I watched about an hour-long video that Greg Laurie has. It's called Fame. I encourage you to look it up. It's quite interesting. And he interviews two famous people who've hit rock bottom after finding out after they had everything, they had nothing. Rock star Alice Cooper, of all people, and baseball legend Daryl Strawberry. Their testimonies are something else. Alice Cooper talks about a time when he's alone in his Hollywood mansion, his Beverly Hills mansion, and on the table beside him sat his pipe, his drugs, and a handgun. That's where he got. He said, eventually we come to the point in our life where we say, is this it? He remembers before going on stage, looking at his costume he would wear for that night's concert and weeping. It wasn't fun anymore. Famous people. People want fame. Here's a list of people who had it all. you'll recognize some of these names. Freddie Prinze, Chris Farley, John Belushi, George Reeves. That goes back to black and white TV. He was the first Superman. Robin Williams, Janis Joplin, Elvis Presley, Prince, Amy Winehouse, Whitney Houston, Kurt Cobain, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, Heath Ledger, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Michael Jackson, Anna Nicole Smith, Marilyn Monroe, all suicide victims. A lot of them overdoses. Because what were they doing? They were looking to escape reality. Think of even the death of Princess Diana. What was she doing? They were speeding away from fame. They were trying to escape the reality. What else is the world looking for? Peace from international conflict. People struggle against people, family, neighbors, coworkers, total strangers. My sister once told me, when you come to Florida and somebody cuts you off in the traffic, don't make any obscene gestures at them because they're wound tight and they probably have a handgun in the glove compartment. You know, it's the way it is. Conflict is there and it's rampant. We're looking for peace from international conflict. Turn on the news lately, Gaza, Israel, Russia, Ukraine, North Korea, China, Iran. You know, the world is like a pressure cooker. Remember your mom cooking with a pressure cooker? Hard to believe that we had a bomb sitting on the stove, right? You just hope that little thing starts to go pss, 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 eventually. You know, and man is fooling themselves or they think that man is going to bring peace to the world. It is not going to happen. In Bible study, we've been talking about the book of Daniel, fascinating book, filled with prophecy, amazing. We talked about Nebuchadnezzar's dream when he dreamed about the statue and he was troubled. He went to his seers and he said, I had this dream last night, tell me what it means. They said, well, tell us what the dream was and we'll tell you what it means. He goes, no. I'm paying you guys good money, you know? You live in good houses. You tell me what the dream was and interpret it. He said, we can't do that. Fine, I'm going to kill y'all, and I turn your homes into outhouses. So Daniel finds out, and he says, don't kill anybody. He prays about it. He goes to Nebuchadnezzar. He tells him the dream he had. He tells him what it meant and about the statue, right? Remember the gold head? Then you had the bronze chest, silver, and then the bronze. And then you have the iron and clay feet, each representing a nation. The gold was Babylon and how it would be overtaken by the Medes and Persians and then Greece and then Rome. And then the future being the feet of iron and clay is the future New World Order or the revised Roman Empire, which will happen and we'll be out of here by then. Don't worry. Thank goodness. But not only was the statue a look at chronologically what was going to happen, but notice the elements and how they decrease in value. That's us. That's man. The longer we're here, the worse it gets and the worse it deteriorates. Point two, what does the Bible say about peace? What about peace on earth that we read about in Luke 2 that the angels proclaimed at Jesus' birth? Jesus' first coming did not bring world peace. However, he promised that he would come again. And the only way there will ever be peace on earth is when every knee bows and tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's from Philippians 2:10. The Lord will assume his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Isaiah 2:4. So that will happen when Jesus comes back again, after the seven-year tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble, and then there will be peace. Here are some instructions for us about it in the Bible. I will just read them for the sake of time. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness. Galatians 5:22. We must seek peace and make peace. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 34:14. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Romans 12:18. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Romans 14:19. That does remind me of going back to the Christian Hockey League. We had a guy that was causing problems. And we'd play Friday night, and I would make that very difficult call on Saturday morning. What are you thinking about? What's going on out there? I mean, you're not having fun, and other people aren't having fun playing with you. You're chirping at the refs. You're taking cheap shots. You're in the penalty box a lot. And he would always come up with an excuse. And I would give him 1, 2, 3 chances. And then I finally went to another convener, and we talked about it. We talked to him again. And the trouble just kept happening. And eventually, one night, I had had enough. And I don't know if this is peacemaking or not, but I just prayed, Lord, here I am in the Christian Fellowship Hockey League as a convener. What do I do with this guy? So after the game, I'd seen enough, and I went into the dressing room, and I said, what is your problem? And he started chirping at me. Well, the ref stinks out there tonight, and guys can't pass the puck to me. Right? And blah, 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 blah. And I said, tell you what, give me your sweater. We're going to give you your money back. I think you should take the year off. Come back to see us next year. And I walked away, and I felt so awful. Here, I just kicked a guy out of a Christian hockey league. What kind of a monster am I? Over the course of the next couple weeks, I'm going to say there are 12 guys in the team. I'm going to say 5 of those guys came to me individually and said, thank you. Because we were not having fun. We had no peace. We had no peace in the dressing room. So thank you. So I felt a little bit better for sure after that. Peace brings joy. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. But those who plan peace have joy. Proverbs 12:20. Peace comes from God. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. John 14:27. And God gives us peace in trouble. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation or trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16:3. The third point, let's talk about peacemakers. What is a peacemaker? Here are some things that come to mind when I heard that term right away. Right? The 1873 Colt, single action, affectionately known in the Wild Wild West as the peacemaker. And when put in the hands of this guy, right? You could count on peace. There'd be a noise, but there would be peace. And there's this guy. Anybody recognize who that is? Dave Semenko. You never touched Wayne Gretzky, because you would have to speak to Dave Semenko. I call him skipping mediation and going to arbitration right away. And then there's these guys. Right? Peacekeepers. Guns, helmets. Because when you're involved in peacemaking, there has to be conflict. Right? And it's not what I thought it was. As a peacemaker, stick your head in the sand, conform to everything, and the problem will go away. It doesn't work like that. Peacemaking is active. Actively involved in conflict. So where does that leave us as peacemakers? Jesus was the ultimate peacemaker, right? So let's see what he has to say about it. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. Matthew 10:34-36. Hang on a second. He didn't come to bring peace. We've been talking about peace being a peacemaker. So if I can explain this verse, somebody mentioned to me one time, well, that's why we got to go to war all the time. We got to, you know, put up our dukes and get a little bit crusty. But that's not what it's talking about. And if I can explain it in this way, and let me be careful, these are my thoughts. There's two types of peace. There's the horizontal peace that we're all looking for in the world, but there's the vertical peace that really counts. And when Jesus said that he was coming, when he came into this world, right away there was conflict because light met darkness. And when light meets darkness, there's conflict because you know what it reveals? It reveals sin. And man does not want to see his sin. It makes us uncomfortable. In John 3:19, Jesus even told us that man chose darkness over light. So be prepared. When we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, be prepared for conflict. And that possibly it's going to come where it hurts the most, right in our home, right in our family. Be prepared to be cast out, to be laughed at, to be persecuted, and in some cultures, to be martyred. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If he belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, if anyone come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And that's been misconstrued in a lot of ways that they think, you know, we use that comment, well, that's my cross to bear. This is my problem and my cross to bear. But what it's really saying is remember that in Jesus' time, the Romans made the accused carry their cross, as they did with Jesus, to the site of execution, death. And on the way, they would be spit on, they'd be ridiculed, they'd be mocked, things would be thrown at them, they'd be cursed. So when Jesus says, we are to take up our cross and follow him, it means dying to ourself. And when we do that, we can face persecution from those closest to us. It can mean loss of friends. It can mean loss of a job. It can mean losing our life. So much for horizontal peace, right? But we get the vertical peace. It's a good trade-off, believe me. Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, this part, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the trade-off. Transcends all understanding. It's a peace that the world does not understand. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. John 14:27. In closing, the last point, it's just a question. Do you have peace, real peace? Do you have vertical peace? Because the horizontal peace that the world offers is temporary at best. It will never come, not until Jesus Christ returns. And that question that John Wayne would ask a member of his posse after they've been chasing the bad guy, and this guy has been shot, and John Wayne is on his hands and knees, cradling him, looking down. Pilgrim, you ain't got much time. Have you made your peace with God? I always kind of thought that was a funny statement when I heard that. Have you made your peace with God? But it has merit, right? I'm sure it's been asked to many people on their deathbeds by pastors, priests, friends, and family members. So have you? God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Probably one of the most beautiful gospel verses in the Bible, isn't it? Think about it. This is the ultimate act of peacemaking. It is self-sacrifice beyond imagination. So think about it. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. So God put the weight of the world's sin, your sin and my sin, on Christ Jesus. It's like God looked at Jesus as if he had lived my life. And he looks at me now as if I lived Christ's life. And we can all say that, right? I hope we all can say that. This is an amazing story of reconciliation between us and God, of the substitution. And the results is this: we have been made the righteousness of God. Hard to get our head around that, right? Right? That we're righteous? Because we're messes. We're all messes, right? You got to admit that, right? When you peel the layers back, right, hockey players? It's ugly. Do I merit it? Do you merit it? Definitely not. It's a gift of God. And God loves us beyond comprehension. There's a God in heaven that's not just dying to see you. He died to see you, right? And I've thought about this, and unfortunately, I think it's true that Jesus is probably looking more forward to seeing me than I am seeing him. Because I fail to love him. I fail to love him the way I should. I think all of us can say that, right? You know, your goodness is not going to get you into heaven. Heaven is not for good people. It's for forgiven people, right? And your philosophies that you think will bring you into favor with God, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, they're not worth a hill of beans. Are you going to stand before a holy God someday with your philosophy of why he should let you come in to his kingdom, into heaven? Do you think that you can do better than what Jesus did on the cross? Wow. It isn't the truth. We're talking in Bible study last week about how the church has evolved in a bad way. Mega churches are filled to capacity. You know why? Because they're hearing what they want to hear. They're telling them what they want to hear instead of what we need to hear. They've gotten soft. They don't want to use words like hell and sin because it may offend them. I'm so thankful here for RCF that we strive to tell the truth, right? And isn't that what the world is looking for right now? Truth in all the wrong places. I think that's a song, isn't it? So, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Is that the world right now or what? Right? It's all about self. And it's all about our own truth, not the real truth. Blessed are the peacekeepers. They will be called the children of God. We are called to be peacemakers. I have been blessed this morning to fill the role as a peacemaker with you, to relay the message to you about the greatest peacemaker that ever lived, Jesus Christ, who reconciled and made peace between us and God, who tore down that wall, and that we can talk to God at any time, as we did before we spoke to God. We spoke to the creator of the world. That wall has been torn down. And you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ today. If you have not given your life to him, don't leave here without doing it. Through faith, you can be saved. And the invitation is here. Don't let your rebel heart get in the way, because that's what we are born as. We are born as rebels, enemies of God, children of wrath. But thanks to Jesus, that's all been taken care of on the cross. So, thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus, the greatest peacekeeper. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for us. Where would we be without you this morning? Where would we be without your love and your forgiveness and your grace and mercy? Lord, we're here this morning because we need help, because we are helpless without you. And we know, Lord, that we have read this morning from your word that in this world, we can't expect peace, but we can expect trouble, trials, sickness. Things will go wrong, Lord, here. But Lord, we have you that we can lean on, and that you will always walk with us through each storm, and you will never leave us or forsake us. And we have peace with you. I pray for anyone here this morning who is still looking for peace and truth in this world as they look horizontally for it, but they would turn their eyes and their hearts to you, Lord, and give you their life, and that you would become Savior of their life. Thank you, Lord. We just give you all the glory this morning, and thank you. And now as we enter into a beautiful service of remembering how wonderful you are and how wonderful you were for us at the cross, what you went through, so that we can have that relationship and the forgiveness of sins. Lord, prepare our hearts for that. We examine ourselves this morning. We put aside and anything, Lord, that has gotten in the way of our walk and our fellowship with you. We just lay it before you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.